Hey, Out and About listeners, you can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Hey, what's going on there, pal?
We saw you at the hockey game on.
Do I know you guys?
I'm Ryan Whitney. I got a drink named after me.
Not a big deal.
Pink Whitney? That's what I thought. See you, fellas.
I invented the thing, you pigeon.
Pink Whitney for legendary moments.
This episode is brought to you by Body Armor Zero Sugar. The brand new zero sugar sports drink from our friends at Body Armor provides real hydration with no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or dyes. And whether you're looking to stay hydrated or recovering from a long weekend, Body Armor Zero Sugar has got you covered with great tasting flavors like fruit punch and lemon lime. Available in stores nationwide, head on over to Body Armor Store on Amazon and get yours today.
Welcome to Out and About. We are 2 days, one day from the Nashville show. If you haven't
got tickets, what is today?
Today's Wednesday, meaning tomorrow at this time, we will be
stepping our bussies up.
I got my outfit. Thoughts. Don't reveal what it is.
My thoughts are,
it's nerve wracking. I didn't think you realized your girl was going that hard.
Yeah, that's my thoughts right now. I have to rethink everything I thought of. my western geesh boot is not going to, and the boot scarf is not going to cover it.
You have a boot scarf is fine.
I know, but I didn't bring, you have a full on costume.
Yeah,
two costumes.
Well, there's a reveal in there, of course. We're working on a couple reveals. Oh, we also have a guest.
Who?
Who's coming on the show, remember? Potentially, if she behaves herself.
Kevin O'Leary.
It's Mr. Wonderful. It's Kevin O'Leary. Speaking of bald, beautiful guests, we have Steve Wilkos on later today. He was awesome. Chicago cop. Smash or pass?
I think I have to do my stretches. He looks like he has an enormous cock.
Yeah, he was fun.
He's like 6'9".
Yeah.
700 pounds. 700? Baby blue eyes.
He was taller than you, Pat.
Oh, yeah. He's a big guy.
Yeah.
Less successful, though.
Yeah.
Which is what I found.
And he doesn't drink anymore.
Yeah. You know what I loved about that? Like, there's no PR. We were like, why don't you drink? He goes, well, I got a DUI about 3 years ago, and the missus said it was me or her. So yeah. I got to put it down. It was no like, I was like, do you want to cut this out? He goes, you can leave it. I don't fucking care. He was great. But back to the show. We found out before this that old Nana
and stage four.
I'm terminal, believe it or not. Our cycles were synced. Because I had booked my flight to Nashville, and it turns out old Nana booked the same flight. However, I'm going to be walking by him in first class.
I'm seat 1A.
Which could not be a bigger nightmare to just see Joey settled in, and I'm going to walk right by
with
him.
A blanket on it. Now, I'm Delta loyal. I have been for many years. Okay. And I only fly Delta unless there's a United flight that's more savory.
Okay, interesting. Now, I thought you were Spirit.
No. Mm. What would you ever think that? So I'll be on that flight. Lear will be on that flight as well.
First class. I looked to upgrade. It was like $600. I was like, I can suck it up for 2 hours.
Yeah.
Right?
Is it only 2 hour flight?
2 hours and 34
minutes. It's not that long, yeah.
Oh. 2 hours in rooty 4 minutes. It's going to be shitty weather there. I was looking.
That sucks.
Rainy. I can use my rooftop then?
You have a rooftop?
You saw it, didn't you?
At your Airbnb?
Yeah.
How many people are in your Airbnb?
Seven.
Seven? How many of them are help?
I'm only bringing two staff.
It's the same ones from Easter?
Yeah.
We show up. He's got a Bellini setup.
They're also flying first class.
He's like Jeffree Star. He flies his help first class.
I actually just robbed the kitchen for all the some things I need for my gift bags.
What are you talking about, gift bags? Oh, you have the party. You're planning your niece's party.
My niece's birthday is Friday and Saturday.
Whose kid is it? Is she
my
like
sisters.
Your actual niece?
Yes.
I thought you only had one sister.
No, I have two sisters.
Okay. That was like
two queens stand before me.
Yeah, it's going to be good. We're looking forward to it. Oh, we also have some big news. Did you hear about the job opportunity that we have?
I heard about the job opportunity we have. I also heard about an opportunity that's going to be opening up here at Out and About for said journalist.
So we would like to formally invite.
Which camera do you look at, Marty?
This one here.
You, this one, Pat, that one.
Tucker Carlson to audition for Third Mike on Out and About.
Yeah. A seasoned journalist, some San Francisco native, a man with strong opinions, a a soft jaw, and swish when she walks.
And a loose morals. I can't believe they got rid of him.
Yeah.
My man Tucker. We could learn a thing or two about showbiz from Tuck.
Well, even Republicans realize that white straight men are the problem.
they always are.
Are they going to replace him with a handicapped black trans woman?
Imagine if they did. Well, Don Lemon's out at CNN, too.
Yeah.
We'll just do the news today, I think. Maybe we'll just do the news.
He spoke at my college graduation.
Ugh. And at LSU, they brought him in?
He's from Louisiana, apparently.
Don Lemon's black, isn't he?
Yeah. It was a weird speech.
He's drunk, right?
He cried during it. I don't know.
He wears round glasses.
You recognize him if you saw him.
Yeah,
Don Lemon.
If I saw him in the men's room?
If you saw him in the men's room, you might recognize him.
Do you think that Bloomingdale sells Western gear? Or we'd have to go to an online boutique?
I think you got to go. I think this is going to be I already know what this is going to be. This is going to be a Thursday morning wild goose chase for Joey.
I don't want to copy your outfit, though. I want my own geesh, but I'm thinking I was going to maybe wear a cowgirl hat, but I wasn't planning on doing it. I want a cute one, though.
You want the one that's bedazzled?
I already bought that.
You want this?
It lights up.
This is the color you're going to wear.
What is that a super lustrous lipstick by
Yes. This is not an ad. Well, I got this from a very special person in this room.
Well, I got a handbag. I came home today to my office and there was this lovely gift from thank you. This is a fur purse. My mother's called her vagina a fur purse.
She did. Before. Should I apply?
I'm going to apply. This one's called Fire and Ice. This is super lustrous lipstick. And this is Fire and Ice is the
Let's
shape.
Let's do something. Hold on. Switch. No, you hold mine. I hold yours. So here.
Yeah.
And now. Come here.
You're not applying for me.
Come on.
No, get it all over my face.
I promise you I won't. How? See, now I've been sitting next to a makeup artist for about a month. Oh.
Okay. How's the color payoff?
It's good. Okay. That's actually...
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Are you kidding me right now?
Yeah, that was pretty perfect.
You got the top?
Look at the top.
Dude, a bunch of swipes. I need a lot of color payoff. This is my big... I'm performing. I'm on stage.
How?
That's not how you do it. It has wrinkles then.
Talking to the mic.
Get the creases.
Okay.
That's like a flawless makeup...
Okay, let me try.
Wait, he's gonna just take it. He's just gonna draw a fucking a swastika on my forehead with the fucking thing.
This is called dramatic, girl.
If Man Mafia all
drama.
They know.
Smile.
I can't.
These fucking lizard lips.
I can't. I didn't have a lip flip done. I didn't have filler.
I have to get that done. Relax your lips. No, just relax. Just relax. Smile. This is pretty. Mush that together.
Can you add on the top lip?
Yeah. Mush. Now get the top. Come here. Oh, these are actually very nice.
Shout out to
I haven't, you know what happened? I was talking about my, remember we were talking about my Easter picture, the picture, the Gothic picture when I had my nieces and nephews look like the Addams Family. Well, I mentioned that I was wearing, I did everyone's makeup that day. I remember I was wearing.
Did you?
Foundation by. And they said, we want to give you some updated products. So they sent me all these nice things. So I'll be wearing exclusively for the rest of the year.
Look at the...
Do you want to see yours?
Elf. We'll be wearing Elf as well. Just Elf. Elf is the only thing we care about. The only thing we'll be wearing. Again, this is a very visual podcast for those of you listening on your way to work.
I don't have a mirror for you, but there's a phone.
Look at my... Did you look at yourself in the mirror?
No, I'd like to look.
This is the best makeup job. It's finally wearing off. Should we give Marty some?
I'm not doing that.
Marty, please.
I need a higher salary to do that.
It would be such a good shade. Marty, then we'll just do a cut to the camera and we go, how does it look, Marty? And you go, great. And you have yours on.
Iced amethyst for Marty.
I don't want to do it. Please, Marty.
It's actually moisturizing. We can take it off later. Nana got a little spendy.
Nice.
Nana got a little spendy this weekend. I got a random check. This one I'm allowed to keep. I got a random check in the mail.
How much?
It was upwards of a rack.
Was it a band?
It was a rack.
$1,000?
No, 10,000.
A rack is 10? I thought a rack was one.
A rack is 10,000. Oh, obviously, you're not a rubber band man.
Well, is 10.
A stack is 10. A rack is one.
So I got about a rack, a little shy of it, like 400 shy of a rack.
Now, if my math is correct.
So Nana.
Carry the two.
Nana got on the subway.
With a fat stack of cash.
And I went headed right down to Soho.
I Okay.
Now that's where the rich people live.
Mm-hmm.
I knew a lady named Haley from Soho. She's very rich.
Well, I hear she's very old now too.
And she's hung.
She's hung like a goddamn horse.
So I went downtown and I decided to treat myself.
Okay. Talk to me.
Now I got new luggage. And a free phone case.
Don't even tell me you got the row on. You did get the row on, didn't you, you fucking scumbag? I knew it. I saw this and I go, that's exactly what he got. Did you get it?
I got the carry-on.
Oh, you
now
did.
I got the extra large checker. And I got a phone case.
Did you get the kind that I just said?
Ramoa, yeah.
Ramoa, yeah. What'd I say, Rowan?
I only wear Ramoa luggage. Thank you for this tried and true steel, for stainless steel backing. I'm able to make my sure my life and secure, and I can also...
He had to buy... It's really a great deal. You spend $3,000 on luggage, they give you a 75-cent plastic phone case.
No, this is a $175 phone case. I had to buy it.
They gave it to you?
No, I bought it.
What? I don't understand why. Oh, is it metal?
It's aluminum. It's a German company.
Whoa. You paid $175 for a phone case?
I know, it's dumb.
Yeah.
I'm afraid to get my lipstick on this now.
Why did you try on ice gingerbread?
No. Like, I have to walk around all day with it.
No, you don't.
What do you mean?
You take it off.
Is it easy to take off?
It's just lipstick.
I'll do it at the end of the show.
Okay, we see.
Unfortunately, we are now on a silent strip.
if he thinks this is bad, wait till we have him again, tuck, and wear a one-piece swimsuit at the concert.
Well, Marty, one final thing before we go on stage. We're just going to have you throw this on. Speaking of great gifts that we got, we were gifted, now we're going to have to bleep this, some pocket pussies.
Is that what they're called? Pocket bussy.
Let's walk us through it.
So I got an email saying, so we want to gift you these things. Can we have your addresses? Now, I didn't know it was going to be like an Oscars. This is a wooden box. It has our names engraved in it.
So you open it up.
Wait, show them the box. This is heavy. Now, I'm going to keep my mother's ashes in here after I'm done with it.
No logos. Cover the logo.
No.
It has my name on the outside.
Now, once you open it up, you will see four things.
Number- a toddler's sock with cum in it. It says, in loving memory of cum sock, Joey Camasta last used it April 2023. And then there's three different masturbatorial sleeves, if you will. So instead of jizzing in a sock, which I never have done, you could just pleasure yourself with these sleeves, and then you reversible design, switch sensations inside and out, release and reuse. So what, long lasting fun with no batteries, no fuss over and over. Color blue.
I think what you do is if this is your ween, it just kind of so it stretches and it kind of slips. We'll have to bleep that. It kind of slips on. You just kind of. Do that, but they gave you three.
So you can come in this and then turn it inside out and then give it to a friend to use.
Fuck. It's right on the board right behind
you. Now, Marty, would you feel comfortable if I climax in this instead of the sock, would you feel comfortable with me turning it inside out? Then you can come in on the other
then
side.
Then I use the other side.
He's got to jerk off with cum. Right, he's got your cum on his hands.
Yeah, but it's not going to touch his dick because there's a sleeve.
He gives you the messy side. Oh, I heard a rumor. Speaking of cum, I don't know if we can use this. Did you get fucked in the ass this weekend?
No.
He's walking with a little bit of a limp, and I'm
there was a robbery and a cheek clapping in the Upper East Side neighborhood, I heard.
Let's talk about whose cheeks were clapped. It's a lady in a fuchsia in a bright red lip, I think, is whose cheeks were clapped. I just want to say I'm very happy for you. I think it's a great release. I think it's a stress reliever, and I think it's something that you deserve, to be completely honest with you.
Thank you. Can I see that toddler sock?
Yeah, of course. You gonna break it out?
Break it out? Emergency. No, but I'm gonna reuse this if I could. What else? What would you put in here if you could put a trophy? I think we need a new trophy in the house.
Oh, it comes with an axe, so you gotta break it like a fire extinguisher.
It's really in there.
I don't know what I would use that for. What I would use the case for?
No, the actual child sock.
Oh God, I don't know. Put it over my head. Rob a convenience store. Hold up by donkeys. I don't know. One of the usuals.
You know who I'm jealous of? Kyle Bauer.
Why?
Well, first of all, because he's so thick.
He's really lifting.
Really juicy. He's been lifting. And he just, I think he's just so funny. And he sits in the same chair I sit in.
It was, they had a funny thing on the Yak the other day. KB, Sass is like, I got to get back in the gym. KB was like, why? He goes, what do you mean why? He goes, it's never worked for you. Yeah. He goes, you look the same every time you lift.
Who?
KB said that to Sass. Sass, I got to get in the gym. KB's like, why? And then he's like, well, how does it work so well for you? And KB goes, it's called hard work, dear. commitment. Because
I think if Sass is big and bulky, it wouldn't look right. It would look weird.
Sass?
It
would look weird.
Oh, yeah. He would look strange big because he's got a baby face on.
Yeah. Well, he is a baby.
Is he?
I know. I saw he was on. They had like gay pride flags with his face on it hanging up around town in the town he was doing a comedy sketch at.
Where?
I don't know. But his pictures on flags. You see that on the internet?
I didn't see that.
That's on the South Boston St. Patrick's Day Parade. We filmed the thing for the show that Feidelberg does with Sass. What's it called?
The comedy show? Out of Order.
Out of Order. It was like they were at some gay pride parade thing.
I love that show. It was very fun. I actually performed yesterday for a sketch comedy show.
What was it called?
It's called Please End This. It's a new show with Tommy Smoke, Carolyn Banowitz, and Rudy Junda.
What did you do on the show?
I had to perform. I had a role. I had a speaking role.
Was that when you were in the wig?
Yeah, I had a speaking role.
We're actually performing with Erica tomorrow.
And I'm excited.
I know. It's going to be fun. Maybe. I don't know. It's like
should I not take my pill?
Oh, please. Come in. You know what you should do?
Unhinged.
Come in unhinged. Go home. drink a bottle of wine in the morning. No pill. Stay up until 6 a.m. Give me old-fashioned Nana. Get real upset.
Oh, you got a message.
Who's it from?
From a young boy.
From Nate.
What did Nate have to say?
He sent me a photo of his nachos.
I'm on a diet.
How's it going?
It's going good. I got back on the F-Factor diet.
What's the F-Factor?
It's my diet that I lost. The last time I was really, really skinny and in shape and like feeling my best is when I was on the F-Factor diet. And I went through, now you're able to go on your Instagram, just so you know, girls, you're able to go back into archives and to the beginning of time, since stories happened in December 2017, you're able to go back and see every story you've ever posted.
Oh, yeah.
So I went back and I knew exactly the day it went wrong. My diet went wrong. I made a big Frank Prisanzano zucchini pasta that night. And that was my gateway to hell. And I never looked back. I just went off my diet. But the F-Factor diet is my friend Tanya Zuckerbrot's diet. It's proven. It's, you live by this rule. It's called fiber and protein in every meal makes losing weight no big deal. So it's a fiber heavy diet. I do.
Usually, well,
a lot of Gigi crackers,
like
a lot of Gigi crackers, lots of fiber and protein, lead protein. So you basically don't eat, you know, you don't eat like regular pasta or bread or carbs, all that stuff. But you know, you have all the vegetables you want, all the lean protein you want, and you can drink wine on it, which I love it. And I lose so much weight, and it's so easy to stick to. F-Factor diet, look it up. You're going to like it. So I'm going back on F-Factor. I'm on step one. So strict step one. Step two, you're
allowed to have. What is step one? Let me pull up the F-Factor.
Step one is like, you know, a hard reset. So like you don't have any like pasta or like bread or carbs or anything like that, except for the Gigi crackers, which you have to eat.
What's it called? Gigi crackers?
Those are the crackers you eat on the diet.
Okay. Oh, here it is. Step one of the F Factor diet.
And
it's too long to read, so we won't be doing it.
So it's good. No, it works for me. If you like any kind of, it's the simplest plan to work for me.
Oh, the purpose of step one is to boost weight loss immediately. The only carbohydrates allowed are high fiber cereal, high fiber Gigi crackers, a serving of fruit. And how long do you have to do step one for?
That would be
2 weeks. That's all you can eat?
The crackers are so satisfying.
You're not going to be, I would be hangry
you
after.
You don't eat just crackers. You eat all your regular food. You eat salads and salads.
Oh, well, you eat it with this.
Yeah. So like for breakfast, you would have like, you could have like egg whites and like low fat, egg whites and like cream cheese or like smoked salmon on, and cucumbers on the Gigi crackers or little omelet. And for sandwiches, for snack time, you put like turkey and cheese on the crackers and make little sandwiches. But you couldn't have to, the only reason you have to eat the crackers is because that boosts your fiber. You don't have to eat the crackers.
So you shit, you're going to be shitting more. So you're going to lose weight.
You shit a lot more, yeah.
Are you trying to get snatched for summer?
Yeah.
I'm over trying to get a good body. I don't even care anymore. It's so impossible. I've been trying to work out for like 10 fucking years and I look exactly the same. There's no point. I'm skinny. I'm shaped like a number two pencil.
I just want to have feel
an
better.
Pack.
No, not sorry. I have some BAMs now, but they're not mine.
Whose are they?
Well, the doctor's sucked them in.
You pull it up; it's just a crudely drawn.
They can do
six
that.
Pack.
Yeah, I have it. You can see it.
Oh, okay.
Can I pitch something to you? But I'm afraid to do it because I know what you're going to say.
What does it involve?
I already pitched it to Marty, and Marty said he would be down. It involves a train.
No.
I'm not done. I already know.
If a train's able to go there, that means a plane's able to go there. So it's much easier.
Oh, no. And then it involves a boat. And it involves a thin stretch of land off the coast of Long
Island. P-Town, I'm not going there.
No.
Montauk?
No. Closer.
Fire Island?
For a filming of recording. Come stay for a day. Your friend is going to be there who you like so much.
Who?
Christoph. Remember you stayed up until 8 in the morning with him?
I don't want, no, I'm not going to come to Fire Island and go home that day.
Would you? No, you stay. We'll get you your own bed, your own place. Marty comes out. We do a little episode with the boys abroad because it's basically, Fire Island is basically a foreign country.
But is it, are we going to all travel there together and film ourselves traveling there together?
We could, yeah.
Could do
we
that.
Could stop all that pesky racism that Bowen Yang was talking about.
Or not.
Or we just don't do that, which is option two. Or we go out to the Hamptons, perhaps. Maybe that's more your speed.
Well, I'd rather go for like, I'm not traveling for one day.
Yeah, we could go stay at Auntie Zach's house, his mother's house. We go out by the pool. We could have Hannah Burner come.
I want to hang out with her. Not so much Hannah. I've seen enough of her. I want to hang out with Paige.
Paige is great. She scares me a little bit.
Do you see how hot Hannah looked in that picture she posted on Instagram?
Oh my God.
She had her makeup done. Her makeup was, it wasn't the makeup look pretty. She just looked hot.
She always looks good. Paige looks fucking phenomenal too.
Did I tell you I paid $50 to shit at the Guggenheim this weekend?
What?
I paid $50 to shit in the Guggenheim. I was at my Central Park with Bay. We're having a lovely day. We got sandwiches. We had a picnic and hung out. But then I started getting up to shit and there was no bathrooms anywhere in the thing. So I was going to the Guggenheim. I had to climb through bushes and like go down a ravine to get off the beaten path. Cause there was no, I couldn't wait to get to the 86 Traverse. I had to like climb down the steps.
How bad did you go? Was the stool loose?
Yeah.
So you paid to, so you weren't going to that museum at first. You were going there to shit.
I made it. I was like, oh, this is something fun we can do now. But I also had to shit. So I kind of made like a double duty.
So the real motive was to poop.
The exhibit sucked. It was all little twigs and sticks tied together.
Ew.
From some lady named Gertrude. And I hated that, but I did good. But now I found out there was a gold toilet in the Guggenheim. And I didn't use the gold toilet. I used a regular toilet.
Imagine he shits in the art installation.
Google gold toilet Guggenheim. I don't know what floor it's on.
Can you do this on the TV, Marty?
Yeah.
Gold toilet Guggenheim. That way the people can see it.
Apparently you're allowed to go and shit in there, but I didn't know that. Had I known. Now, only expensive or elite shit I took like this prior to this was at
elite
the Vatican.
Shit.
It was at the Vatican, and that was my holy shit. The Vatican in Rome. I have a picture of me on the toilet taking a holy shit.
You pooped at the Vatty?
Of course I did. And then I had to do a rewipe at a gelato cart right outside the courtyard.
Ugh. At a rewipe at a gelato cart.
Oh, it literally is. It's a sculpture.
No, it's in the bathroom, though.
You can shit in this for real. Oh, look, it's got the little toilet paper on the side.
It's not really the toilet you're allowed to use.
Oh, it says fully functional.
There's just a dookie in there?
Yeah, it's like in a real bathroom. Exhibition? Can you shit in it?
That's not real gold.
It was stolen in 2019.
Oh, that's
steal a toilet. Oh my God. The Catalan. I don't know what this is. I can't read.
Other gold toilets.
Should we install
a gold toilet?
Should we install a gold toilet in Nashville?
Yeah.
We just paint Joey gold, then everyone pisses on him.
I would love that.
It's the golden toilet.
I get yelled at every time I talk about it, though.
About pee?
Yeah, I get called disgusting.
I wish we could talk about your little expedition this weekend, but we won't do that.
No.
It'll be fun to do. Private. It's important to keep things private in your life. Let that be a lesson to everyone.
Yeah, I like being private.
You like being
private? I like private parts.
You like private parts. Shout out Howard Stern.
You remember that book?
Good movie.
Yeah, Private Parts. It was a great movie.
He was a good friend of mine.
Stern? Has he passed?
No, I haven't seen him in a while.
Where did you guys used to see each other?
At Sirius Radio.
He has like a whole wing. He like owns Sirius. I didn't know that.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
That's crazy.
He makes $500 million a year.
Oh, my
God. I'm serious. Isn't that right?
It's something crazy.
It's insane. Like, and he just got a new contract a couple of years ago. I remember writing about it. That's nuts.
Yeah. Robin, the thing. Remember that guy who came in here?
Matt Friend. Yeah, he was funny. Matt Friend. Friend?
Do you know something?
Oh, yeah.
What?
That I think you're going to want to know.
I can't stop looking at your lips. Do I look as crazy as you?
No. Oh. I'm someone that you have a crush on and has an OnlyFans and you've been waiting for it.
Who?
Matt Reif.
No, he doesn't. Pull her up. Matt Reif OnlyFans. Have you bought it already?
I haven't bought it yet.
There's probably nothing on it. Matt Reif OnlyFans?
He shows off. He does workout videos.
He shows off. He's into show-off play. Are we going to release the... Oh, there he is. Wow.
Who signed in?
I can subscribe for free.
Do it.
He charges you for things, though.
Click it. Subscribe for free.
Oh, I'm not logging in.
I'll log in. No, then you'll see my dick pics. Yeah, Matt Rife, he's a very good comedian. I wanted to come on the show, but he said no, unfortunately.
Did he reach out and he actually said no?
No, I didn't reach out to him.
Look at his face. Oh my God.
He was never that good looking though before. He just started looking at him and got looking, he said.
Do you think he drinks?
Yeah.
Where's our after party? Or we're not telling anyone, you have to be at the show to know.
You have to be at the show to know.
But it's like ready to go.
Yeah, it's ready. It's done.
And it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a
turn up. I don't
know
if it'll be fun, but it's
we'll be there. Well, we don't know if it'll be
fun. Keep in mind, ladies, it is a 15-minute Uber ride from the venue.
It is.
Yeah.
But it's well worth it.
I don't know. I mean, it's a bar. It's
No, that's actually good, though. We'll get the people that like really want to party then.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'll tell you something. Old Trish is turning back the clock on Thursday night.
Yeah, I'm going after it.
So much so that we're not even going to have an episode on Friday. So this is your this is your fix.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I had an epiphany.
That's a drag queen's name.
Epiphany?
Epiphany.
Epiphany who?
Get Paid.
Epiphany Get Paid is her name.
Yeah.
From where? Drag Race?
Or no, someone? She's from Hell's Kitchen.
From around the block?
Yeah. Would you rather live in Hell's Kitchen or Fidei?
Hell's Kitchen. Easily.
Really?
Easily Hell's Kitchen.
Oh.
Fidei's like gloomy and like, ew.
I don't know.
There's nothing around in Fidei except, well, there's Finance Bros. That's a draw.
The Fish Market.
Fish Market.
You just live there.
Ooh. Oh, I went to the nicest apartment
Haley
in Seaport.
Has a name. Ooh. Please use it. It's not Fish Market. Where's Sandra been? Is she coming back to work ever?
I hope so.
Did she leave
to me
like
today?
March 14th? It's been a while.
She was rapping through the wire to me on the phone today.
Right?
We had to do a little video for her. I hope she comes back soon. I hope she gets well soon. If I were her, I would just milk working at home all the time.
Yeah.
Why come back? You're
I think
doing
she's
it from
doing
there.
It right. Yeah.
I'm going to try that too.
Milk work.
When I have my breast reduction again.
You don't need a reduction again.
No. I would like implants, though.
Silicone or saline?
No, like just plastic. So they're always hard.
Hard plastic. You want
they
for a consultation?
Like do you think that Big Cat would pay for my breast implants?
Big Cat?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you get to trick them into it. You could probably be like, hey, I need this. You know, we're going to be going to Chicago for a month. You know, can you approve this? But just give me the money up front.
Yeah.
And then you use that to get female breasts put on your body surgically.
No, I want female ones.
Oh, you want like Superman chest?
Yeah.
You want to be like Amanda Lepore, but the man version of Amanda Lepore?
Yeah. I'm
You're faint. I can see. I'm fainting.
I'm slight of breath today.
Now, do I need to check you into the, are we having another heart attack?
This weekend I already had a blood clot that was going right to my brain.
And let's back it up. I don't think you're having a blood clots is what kill people.
Yeah. I thought it was a blood clot, but I guess I haven't ruled it out, but I was taking the temperature on my leg with a meat thermometer for 2 days to see if that one leg was hotter, warmer than the other, because that's supposed to be the telltale sign.
You go. And turns out it was a turkey sub. It got lodged down in my extremity.
I think it was just a cramp. I think it was just a cramp from not drinking enough water. I still get there. So maybe I will still be dying from that. But no, I. What was I talking about?
You're having a blood clot. You're having an aneurysm.
I'm not anymore.
That's a terrible thing. Short of breath.
Oh yeah. So I had to wake up. I woke up at 6:45 today.
Same.
Because Bay wakes up at 6:45, and.
And then you pretend like you have to rush to work and then go back to bed?
No, he knows I have to work till 1.
Oh.
So then I went back to bed and I set my alarm for 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock didn't work. I wasn't ready to receive the day at 10 o'clock. So I kept sleeping, but I didn't even take pills last night. But I think yesterday's excursion, we walked probably 25 miles last night.
Let me say something. And now I don't want to jump to conclusions. You didn't take your pills.
I did.
But you, no, last night you didn't.
No, I didn't take crazy. I didn't take sleeping pills.
So sunshine, exercise and a day full of activity allowed Nana to get to sleep without a pill.
Yeah.
Perhaps we continue the pattern? Maybe?
I can't even describe the feeling.
Of a healthy day?
No, of being in love. I was like, you can't pay for this. And that's, I normally have to buy everything that makes me happy. And I kind of am buying this fiction. He still tells me Nicole. He goes, Nicole's contract's almost on my 1 year's almost up. He's like, he told me that Nicole paid for him to be my boyfriend. He said, he's like, 1 year's almost up. She's like, you think she'll?
I don't want you to buy him too many things.
I'm not, but his birthday's coming up.
Oh, that's why you fucking texted me. He texted. He goes, does your sister work at Nike still? I go, what is this
about? I gotta get my hands on these things. I'm gonna have to pay someone to sleep outside of all the local like sneaker shops in the tri-state area to get these shoes I need.
You already bought him shoes. Don't buy someone's shoes. That's too much.
What do you mean?
Those shoes are like,
they're $130.
Is that it?
Yeah, if you get them on the store, but you can never get them at the store in your size.
What did he get you for your birthday?
He got me a room at the Chelsea Hotel.
That was actually really nice.
Oh, that suite, is fun.
The dinner, it was a beautiful, you love the hotel. He got us a suite with the big bathtub, the big room. And he got me dinner downstairs and he got me—
a blowjob?
No, he got me cute little sentimental gift flowers and champagne. I heard champagne and
baby boy was jealous.
Who?
Our man Colin Cooper was jealous of Joey's man.
Well, Colin
Cooper—
they did
not get along.
They get along, but Colin's just jealous because I'm not with him. He's jealous that he's not homosexual.
Because he might be.
He's not, though.
You've tried?
No, I just know he's not.
Yeah, what did he say? I go, he's jealous. You go, he's a kid. That's what he said when he walked right by.
I had a great time. You know who I've been hanging out with a lot lately? Justin P. Summer.
Yeah, Youngstown Bob and I. Like a 3 a.m. Instagram story of him and Youngstown Bob in the
hang out almost every weekend.
Oh, for
the past
like
month, yeah.
Oh.
He lives in my neighborhood.
Yeah, I knew he lived up east.
We're good friends. We have mutual friends. We made and the thing. We were at Dorian's this weekend for a birthday party.
I love Youngstown.
Fame place of the preppy murderer, and that's who we have to thank for all my graphic design geesh I'm getting up into this weekend for our show.
Yeah, he's a great graphic designer. Justin's
great guy.
Imagine you go to a bar, you see Joey, Youngstown Bob, Colin Cooper.
That's our crew.
That's our
UES crew.
UES, you have a UES crew. It's you, Colin, and Youngstown. You're the pussy
and Tara,
patrol.
And Tara comes around once in a while.
Tara
Botswick.
Botnwick.
Botnwick.
Oh, I thought you meant old school Tara.
No, I haven't seen her in years.
How? Now I can feel it. Now reading came before shade.
Shade came before reading.
Shame came before reading. How is old baby girl? Tara,
I haven't seen her in years, but I did ask her about my blood clot.
Massive falling out. You call her when your life's on the line.
Yeah.
Oh, I found out recently. A friend of mine, Tara, is her boss.
Get out.
Yeah.
At NYU.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
NYU Medical Center.
Remember she left
NYU Langone.
She left the mansion at 7 in the morning to go work.
Oh. Yeah, she has to play. She has to play doctor.
Oh my god! Remember that she left.
Yeah, that was brutal. Yeah, and we went like swimming that night too. So like, I don't even know how that.
Oh yeah, I left early that night, and I went home to bed that night.
Yeah.
Have you ever used a cum sock?
Never, not once.
Me
I never, I never understood why that was like talked about as a common thing. Really?
What do you come into?
I'm just on my own stomach.
Or your boyfriend's hole?
Or not really. Just by myself. I've used the sock though, just because I wanted to see what it was about, but I don't get it. It was when I was young. I was like, what is the point of this?
Right, did you stick your dick inside the sock and come in the sock? Or you come on the sock?
No, in it.
Like, it doesn't feel good.
No.
Like, so I never understood why that was a thing.
I think it's a young thing.
I guess.
A Youngstown Bob thing.
Yes, it's a Youngstown Bob thing. I don't know.
Do you think that our guest today comes in socks?
I think.
He'd have to have like a long like knee sock to fit it in there.
He needs waiters to fucking come in. He's going to fill those things up.
Yeah.
Steve Wilkos, you know him from originally the Jerry Springer Show. He was the head security guard there forever. Former Chicago cop. He then parlayed that into the Steve Wilkos Show, which I find.
Now she has her own geese. She's the modern day RuPaul.
Exactly. Modern day RuPaul. Highly entertaining. Down to earth. Funny. His show runs everywhere on syndication. And we love him.
Yeah, our sober Canadian native.
Yeah. No, Canadian. No, Illinois. But it lives in Connecticut.
Oh, yeah. Connecticut native.
Yeah, lives in Connecticut. So enjoy our interview with Steve Wilkos. If you're coming to Nashville, all I can say is
bring and give it to me at the meet and greet. Thank you. And also fentanyl testing. And Marty, can you bring fentanyl testing strips so we can test the goods backstage?
Yeah.
And also bring your A game because we're going hard. And we're going to have fun and we're going to drink.
And if you're pre-gaming, pre-game with Mamitas, you're going to like what you see over there.
We love it. Now here's our interview with Steve Wilkos.
Hey guys, it's Big Cat and Fight Week is here. Rough and Rowdy 24 invades Clarksburg, West Virginia this Friday night, April 19th at 8 p.m. Eastern for the first time since Rough and Rowdy won. Every single fight will be a brand new brawler and we found the wildest hillbillies the Holler has to offer. Order now to enjoy 20 amateur matchups with no headgear, plus our live ring girl contest after the final bell. These country roads are being paved with blood and grit and balls. Join me and Dave on the call for Rough and Rowdy 24 this Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern. Witness all the chaos with pay-per-view replay available all weekend long on buyrnr.com. That's buyrnr.com.
We're here with Steve Wilkos. Season 17 of the Steve Wilkos Show is now on the air. We're so excited that you're here. Thank you for coming in. You came in from Connecticut, Darien, yeah. Connecticut. Yeah. How's it going? You started the show in 2007. Did you imagine you would still be on to this day? What's the journey been like?
You know, it's funny. I was thinking about that coming down. Like, when does it end, right? Like, so when you get the show, you really have no idea how things are going to last because, you know, being in this kind of field is like being an athlete, right? Like,
right.
It's not going to last forever. It's not a civil servant job. It's not going to go 30, 40 years. But so the answer is you have no idea, right? You're hoping. I remember I bought a Wisconsin. We were still doing a show in Chicago, and I bought a lake house in Wisconsin after the first season of doing my show. And I remember saying, boy, if I could do the show for two or three more years so I could keep this lake house.
Yeah. Now he owns the lake.
Yeah, so. Now he owns the whole lake. But you were on Springer. You started in 94, and then you went right up till the end of your show.
Yeah.
Till the show you're doing now, rather. How did that come about? Because you were just as synonymous with that show as Jerry is himself. Yeah. And then obviously you parlayed it into this great show. But how did you get on there? Like, how did you connect?
So I was working in the 14th District of Chicago, Shakespeare District, and I was friends with Mike McDermott, who runs my security. Mm. And
familiar.
We met in the late 90s. So.
Yeah, well, I mean, Mike was around in the late 90s. But we worked together, and I remember I was walking out of the police station at like 1 o'clock in the morning. He said, hey, we need a guy tomorrow. You want to work? I said, what is it? He's like, the Jerry Springer Show. I never even heard of Jerry Springer at this point. And I said, yeah, what does it pay? You know, blah, blah, blah. I said, I'll be there. And then.
That's like security for the audience or just, right, just in general.
Yeah. Like not for the audience. Like they would hire off duty cops if they were doing something that was controversial or like, I remember they did like a KKK show.
Yeah. It's like the Austin Powers. That's like a Marty's Brist. They had security.
Yeah. Yeah. So they would hire us for that. But then the show took like kind of a, you know, the confrontational show where young people come on and fight about sleeping with you. Well, then, and then, so there was a guy running and he got fired. And I was like, he's a producer. And I'm standing right by his desk and he looks up. He fires the guy over the phone and says, looks up at me and goes, hey, you want to run security here? And I'm like, hell yeah. And so then I brought all my guys in. And, you know, and then it was like the show took a turn and went younger, more confrontational. And I was on stage. And then the big thing was that really changed was we were down in Florida during spring break. And the producer at the time said, hey, would you be willing to shave your head? And I said, why? And he goes, you know, I'll make you a star. You'd be very visible. And I said, sounds good to me. Let's do it.
Oh, my God. They were grooming her in young Hollywood.
Yes.
Trying to reinvent herself. Yeah. Pronouns.
But I didn't have like Fabio type hair or anything.
Yeah.
I just
gives you more of a badass look.
I came out of the Marines. And so I had my hair was very short anyways. And I was balding. And so I said, yeah, take it off.
Wait, so did you have to retire from being a cop? You were already retired.
No, I was active policeman. I came on the police in 1990 and then I started on Springer in 1994. So I still was doing both jobs.
Both jobs. You're doubling up.
Until 2001.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Until 2001? Yeah. You were still. So would people recognize you?
Yeah, I was going to say, when you go break up a crime, they're like what the hell is he doing here?
I'd have my gun stuck in guys' ribs and they're like, hey, you're Steve. You know? I'm like, you got 357 stuck in your ribs, bud.
That must have been wild, though.
It was crazy.
That's
but
nuts.
I always say those years were the best years of my life.
Yeah.
So fun to be on the, you know, number one show in the world. I just, you know, and I never expected it, right? I never went to break in the entertainment field. My dad was a Chicago cop, and I was a Chicago cop. I was going to be cop for 30 years, get my pension, retire. And to go to this crazy show where there's no rules, there's no script, you just run around pulling each other's pants down. That's what I equated it to, like being in high school.
Yeah.
And getting paid a lot of money, you know? Yeah. And it was great.
So after you kind of got your name as, you know, Steve on the show, like you were able to like recruit your buddies. It's almost like a rite of passage, like you hiring the next generation to take over what you used to be doing and breaking the fights up.
Yeah. So I brought my guys in and it was just, it was, I mean, it's so hard to explain. Like, then you'd go to work as a police. Like, here you got this crazy TV show and you're doing it. And I became very popular and I'm doing David Letterman and Jay Leno and Austin Power movies. But yeah. Then I'd get done with work and I'd have to go sit in the squad car for 8 hours.
And reflect on what the fuck just happened.
And you know, it was crazy. Like, I was making a lot of money on the Spring Show. And finally, I married my wife and she was a producer on Spring. She's like, what do you I remember I came home. My uniform was soaked in blood. And she didn't understand that, like, people fight the police. Yeah. She thought people oh, I'm under arrest because, like, she's a law-abiding citizen. I go, no, man, we have to thump guys sometimes, you know?
Oh, my God.
And so one time I came home, and I literally, my uniform was just slathered in blood. And she goes, you're quitting. And I've been married about a year at this point, and I said, you know what? You're right. I'm kind of done. Because I knew, like, TV was where I was going. Yeah. And she said, listen, she goes, if the show goes off, like, because, you know, again, didn't know, like, how long Spring was going to last. She said, we're not going to stay and we're living on your policeman's salary. She goes, I'm a TV producer. We're going to move to New York or L.A. and you'll find something to do. And I said, okay, sounds good.
I don't think people understand, like, a lot of people our age will, like, understand the cultural significance of Jerry Springer and, like, just how big that show was. And you were there from the beginning. So you are like, you grew up just like, you know, with the show as that was getting bigger, you were too. Do you remember, like, the moment where you realized, like, oh, fuck, this show is huge. I'm onto something here.
Well, you know, it was the moments of, like, you know, the first time somebody asked me for my autograph or being in the streets and people treating you differently now, like, oh, that's Steve. And I'm like, hey, fuck, you know. And so, like, those were moments. And then it just exploded, man, like a bomb went off. And it wasn't gradual. It was like overnight sensation. So it kind of caught us all off guard. You know what I mean? Even Jerry, I think.
That show at the time was like such a lightning in a bottle. What happened was I think I realized the first time they saw that there was a market for it was on Geraldo when he got punched in the face. And it was like he broke the fourth wall. And it was like, oh, my God, this is like, what is happening? The cameras went silent. You know, the mics went silent. And the people are running on the stage. And it's like, what the fuck is going on? People couldn't believe that was real. And then, you know, that's what a smart fucking idea, make that the actual thing.
And people love to watch trash. Yeah. Like, not in terms of the quality of the show, but just like the guest. Like, people love
people
to see
like people. To see
that's
drama,
why
I like
going back
man.
To my hometown.
Drama.
And
exactly.
Listen, it's fascinating to watch people beat the hell out of each other.
Right.
I mean, that's why we watch, you know, Ultimate Fighting and boxing and all. I mean, look at the Housewives, right?
Yeah.
Like, to me, I don't understand how anybody watches that, but I get it. Like, obviously, there's, you know, an audience for it, but like, what is it? It's all drama, and then occasionally they throw in a fake fight. Right. And, you know, to me, like, people are saying our show is fake, and I'm like, then the big reality shows start coming, like Survivor and all. So I go, and I'm watching these shows, and I'm like, that's fake.
Right.
Don't tell me that. That's real. I go, like, now listen, was everything real on a Spring Show? Of course not. But most of all the fights, listen, I had two back surgeries, concussion, torn groin, more cuts and scratches than you could ever imagine. So if those fights were fake, then I'm pissed off because I got hurt doing fake fights. So they weren't fake. But when the midget was, you're not supposed to say that.
You can say whatever you want.
But back then,
you're in the right spot for
that. But back then, the midget dating the hot stripper, not so real.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
But like, you know, when I tell people, if you're sleeping with your best friend's wife and you come on the show to talk about it, you know, we don't really have to incentivize you to fight each other, right?
Right. Yeah.
Like, hey, I did your wife. Boom. It's on. You know what I mean? So, like, you know.
Yeah. Cool, you know. It has production as well, like producing it. So, keep them kind of separated backstage. So, they're really fun. When you get on stage, it is kind of real.
I do love, like, how we did instigate a little bit. Like,
yeah.
We'd have the guy who, you know, come out with roses and give it to his wife in front of him, you know.
Right then, before he goes on stage and gives him roses. Right. Yeah.
Like, we're doing stuff then, like that. And then, you know, then the husband just the husband just catches on fire, you know. Yeah. Like, you know. So, yeah, it was tremendous.
You ever had any close calls, like, physically? Like, any time you thought, oh, shit, I stirred the pot here and I bit off more than I can.
No, you know what's interesting? When we first, like, you know, the fights, nobody knew it was going to happen. Yeah. So, like, the stage, the old stage, when we the show started going crazy, it didn't go all the way to the wall. So there was, like, a drop-off. And it was just concrete floors.
Yeah.
So we had these two little guys that were from Kentucky, and they were good friends. And the one guy started sleeping the other guy's wife. And they were little guys. If you just looked at them, you didn't think anything, right?
Scrappy, though.
But, well, so... These two guys start fighting. We start wrestling with them. They're throwing us around like ragdolls. And we're all big guys, like 6'3", 250. One guy just threw me off the stage, and I landed on my chin on the concrete. I almost knocked myself out.
Good Lord.
So, like, we were sweating. Our clothes are ripped. And I'm like, you know, we're kind of embarrassing. These two little guys throwing everybody around. So I go off the stage, and I go, Who are these guys? And the producer goes, oh, I meant to tell you, they're two All-State wrestlers.
Yeah.
You know, that's the kind of thing we need to know going into this.
As a show host now, like, when that happens, like, I know for doing programs like this, you have to have backup plans, especially with live TV, like, you have an audience. If they get that fucked up and you have to drag them off physically, how do you fill the time? Like, do you have backup plans on how to fill the rest of the content time?
No,
but you know what I mean?
It's like, do you feel it?
The thing about Springer, we just always kept the cameras rolling.
Yeah.
We never really shut down a show. That's what I said. There was no rules. There was no script. There was no nothing. We just did anything we wanted. I mean, it was
getting
crazy.
Tickets to Springer was like more better than getting SNL tickets. Like,
way better than that. Better.
Even when now, you land even tickets now. To Springer, it's yeah. like, oh my
you know,
God.
Yeah. You know, and so, okay.
This, so I know, it's
like,
gonna be good.
So, like, I'm dating my wife. We're dating, okay. And I would sneak in my squad car over to her apartment, you know, and
with lingerie on,
a little afternoon delight
with lingerie on.
I'm in a state where I'm not really ready to make a police call at this point, right?
Okay,
like, I'm in a state of undress. Let's put it that way.
In a state of euphoria.
And so, like, my radio, my radio's going off 1443, and I'm like,
oh, what's a 1443?
That's my beat number. You know? Okay, so they're calling me. The dispatcher's calling me. And I'm like, oh my God, I got a job. You know, I'm like 1443, and it's like, oh, it's 1424. We want to meet up. And I'm like, meet up? What do you want? Oh, we want tickets to Springer show. I'm like, you asshole. Just get out. Don't bother me with this right now. Oh, you know? God. But that's what I had to deal with a lot of ticket requests.
How many years on the force were you before you retired?
11 and a half.
And so you're 11 and a half years in. When you got hired on Springer, were you making more money right off the bat on top of that thing?
No, because I wasn't there for, I think, every show when I first started. But I was making more money per hour. So I was making, Springer was paying us $35 an hour.
Oh.
And I probably was making like $25 an hour as a cop.
Yeah.
So it was more money. But then after the first year, they said, okay, we want you full time. We're going to pay you like, I don't know, it was like something like $1,200 a week, which is a lot of money.
Yeah.
But then in my third year there in 1997, they gave me $75,000.
Oh.
We're just going to give you 75 grand.
Just a flat year rate.
Yeah.
And you're like, I'm in the money.
This is 25 more than I'm making my real job. Yeah. You know? So I was like, oh my God, you know? Then, like, it was crazy. Like, the show got even more pop. They tore it up, gave me 150 grand. So it just kept going up like that. And I mean, I felt like I was dreaming. Like,
how
is this happening?
That's wild. And now you've been doing this show for so long. It's in syndication. So you're cleaning up there. I'm sure things are going well.
Buck.
And you live in Connecticut.
Yeah.
Do you want to go back? Do you have any desire to, like, go back to Chicago, or you like it here? Because you got you're a Chicago guy. Yeah. I can tell from the ad.
That's where Springer was filmed, in Chicago, right?
Yeah. And then he
moved out. Wasn't.
We were both in Chicago.
Yeah.
That's, you know, we were doing the show.
That's when Oprah was there, too.
Yeah.
And
Steve Harvey.
In 2009, they moved me and Jerry from Chicago to Stanford, and Maury from New York to Stanford. So they put us, all three of us, in
That's
the studio
remember,
in Stanford, Connecticut.
That's what you did. Our show, I think you did Dog Walk with the Chicago guys back in the day.
Yes,
I was like looking up. I was like Eddie and you guys talking to each other. I can't remember what it was.
So the answer is, am I ever going to go back to Chicago? Not full time. I still own that lake house, you know, that I was telling you about. So that's an hour north. So I went back for Cubs opening day, spent the night, one night in downtown Chicago. Then I went up to my lake house, spent a couple nights there. I love Chicago, but Chicago's different than when I left it. And it's going downhill rapidly. I still love the city. I enjoy it. You can never take that out of me. But I'm never going to live in Chicago full time. Never going to be there. You know, my kids, they were raised somewhere else. They were raised in Connecticut. So that's not even home to them. My sister still lives in Chicago. I have a lot of friends. Everybody I knew growing up was back there. But I mean, I really, that's the sad part about it. By moving away, I don't feel home anywhere anymore, you know?
Yeah.
Probably the closest I feel home
it's
anywhere.
Here.
No, it's Wisconsin.
In the studio right now.
Well,
in this Wisconsin. Listen,
when I'm in a studio, I feel comfortable because I spent the last, you know, almost 30 years of my life in a studio.
Oh, my God.
Next year will be 30 years straight on TV.
30 years straight. I like how your, like, style just seeing over the years has developed into, like, Jerry very much like stirred the pot and got out of the way. Like you find out who's right and wrong, and then you're in their face, just intimidating that because you're a big guy.
Well, my just doing the thing. I just do the show like my dad would do the show, like my dad, like my dad ran his household. That's how I do my show.
Just ruling with an iron fist,
exactly.
How do you pick your guests now? Like, do you
gotta talk to my wife about that?
Is she does the show?
My wife's my executive producer.
Oh, good.
Oh, wow.
So we met on the Springer show. She started as an AP, worked our way up to. When our old executive producer left the Springer Show, they named her the executive producer of Springer Show. They did not want her to become executive producer of my show because
conflict of interest.
Well, a lot of power in, you know, a family there. You know what I mean? So they brought in a guy from Blind Date and they're like, we want you to pick this guy. And I said, okay, I went to dinner with him. I'm like, oh, he's fine. But then whatever happened, he didn't take the job. Well, in the meantime, my wife was running my show and the numbers were going up. So I told the president at the time, I said, hey, I want my wife to be my executive producer. So she did. She ran the Springer Show on my show from 2009 to 2015. And in 2015, my daughter was 12, going to be 13. And my wife wanted to be more home for the kids, you know, to be a little more time. So she goes, I'm going to leave the Springer Show. I'm just going to do your show. And so that's how that worked out.
And the rest is history.
And she runs. So I remember, like, you know, Jenny Jones when the guy got killed.
Yeah.
So, like, the big thing was she was on trial. People were like, what do you mean you don't know what's going on in your show? What do you mean? You know, and she's like, hey, I have nothing to do. Well, and it's true.
Yeah.
I have nothing, zero to do with the production of
you
my show.
You go in blind? Like, you do you get a little one sheet of who your guests are?
When and I
you go-
walk in and I'm eating my little yogurt and getting dressed, I have no idea what the show's about.
And you just go out and you just...
I just do it. I wing it. Just like I did as a cop. When you're a cop, they go, hey, go to 1435 West Division Street and speak to Mrs. Smith. Well, you go there and you got to talk to him, find out what the hell's going on. And
you have to investigate right on there. So you're asking like,
and you don't have all day to do it either. Like, you know, you got to knock out that job and go to another one.
Yeah.
So
that's insane.
How many shows do you film in a day?
We try to get 6 stories a day.
Oh,
like
6 shows a day?
Not shows.
Stories. So what's that, like 3 a show?
So then my wife will, so 3 in the morning, 3 in the afternoon, 3 in the morning, because we tape 2 days a week, Tuesday, Wednesday. So we want to get 10 to 12 stories a week.
That's a lot.
And then my wife will piece them together.
Oh, so she's still very much involved in like every aspect of the show.
Yeah, I mean, she's the boss.
God. I was going to have you see if you could break up a fight between me and Joey, but we've been we've been pretty good today.
I'm not going to lie. I can still kick a lot of ass.
Okay.
But those days have passed me, man, because I tend to get hurt now.
Yeah.
Like just getting out of bed in the morning. Like, you know, my body does not feel the same anymore.
He sleeps the wrong way with the draft open.
Right. You know?
She's fucking so sweet.
Like, yeah, I wake up, I'm like, oh, you know. But I don't break up any fights.
None at all, ever.
No.
Well, I see, like, you're in their face, though. How much of that is character and how much
is because
that?
I'm getting mad, you know? Yeah. And, like, you know, you get confrontational. But, like, say if somebody hits me, I'm going to hit them, right?
Yeah.
If a guest winds up and cracks you,
it's never happened,
right?
But if it did, I would be fighting. I'd be throwing down. Now, in real life, I don't want anything to do with fighting, right? One, you get in trouble, you get locked up or something. Like, who needs that crap? But nobody's ever bothered me, right? Like, you know, I'm a big guy. And yeah. I think people know who I am. So, you know, if you're going to fight somebody, you don't want to pick a guy that was in the Marines and a cop. And right. You
want, maybe but it's more about the conflict between the two people on the stage. You're not really getting in the middle of it.
I'm never getting involved with that, man.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how you get hurt, man.
Yeah.
That's when you got more chance getting hurt, breaking up a fight than being in the fight.
What's the most popular thing on your show that's over the 16 seasons? Like, what do you see the most of? Is it
molestation.
Infidelity? Molestation.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I wasn't even going that dark.
People love it,
I was going to say about black transvestite. Well,
I wouldn't even know if they love it. I think everyone in this country has been molested at one point or other.
Yeah, well, I was never because I was chubby as a kid. But
that's what I say. Time. Like, nobody ever molested me. Like, was I a homely kid?
Yeah,
I
thought
I
was
pretty homely. Good. That's so Midwestern. You know? That's so
Midwestern. No, they're confronting your parents?
I shouldn't joke about it. Yeah. I shouldn't joke about it because if you become a victim of that, you're carrying some pretty tough scars your whole life.
Yeah.
But the connection, I do think a lot of people have been victimized by being molested because when in Chicago, I would meet all the audience members after the show because that's what Jerry did. So if Jerry did it, I had to do it.
Yeah.
I had to meet all the audience members.
Yeah.
We put a stop to that before we moved to Connecticut.
We do ours before the show.
Like, you know, because it's tedious and it's too much and you got to prepare for the next show. But we don't do it anymore. But the point was, we would do a show on molestation. And then afterwards, everybody's walking.
You'd have the molester there?
Yeah. And then.
Were they running incarcerated?
Well, we've had people arrested from actually appearing on the show and filming live.
And they're just okay coming on, just saying,
I did this.
Do they black their face out?
No, nobody says they ever. Oh, I did it.
Well, they go on to defend their name, like their honor?
No, they try to.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So, but the point was after the show, all these people in the audience, and even now, they write me letters, you know, that happened to me. And we all thank you for speaking up on this topic and everything else. Now, it's my least favorite topic that we do. I hate it, but it's what, you know.
Numbers never lie.
Exactly. What about secret gay stuff? We love secret queens. You go to secretqueen.com and use code Steve. You'll get 10% off.
We've had a few stories where the girlfriend accused her boyfriend of being gay.
Yeah.
And I felt bad because...
And then the sassy sidekick comes out from behind the stage.
You know, I think not. Like, hey, listen, the best one, like, stop. Here's what's crazy. Like, on Springer Show, people are like, you know, the whole, excuse me if I'm saying the wrong word.
Oh, you can say it's fine.
No.
Steve, you can say whatever you want on this show, I promise you.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Guys were like, they were dating women, but then the woman turned out to be a man.
Classic and
we used to do a lot of those shows. Yeah. I'm like, how do you not know that's a I'm sitting here.
Nowadays, with surgery, you can't tell, but then.
But nobody was having surgery.
With 14th Street Queens.
You know what I mean?
Pre-facial feminization and tracheal
surgery. But anyways, like, then there was one where the girl was pretending to be a guy, and she said that she was wearing a strap-on, but we always turn the lights off. And
a packer.
I was like, come on, man. You know. But we don't do a lot.
Her name is Content Kim.
That's a lady. That's the sweetest woman in the office who we work with, by the way. She sits right over here.
She's packing?
She's packing in more ways than one.
Yeah.
She's packing that wallet full of oil money is what she's packing.
Right.
No, but that's so interesting. And so your favorite types of shows, like numbers aside, that does well.
I love the cheating.
I
love cheating. Because, listen, I say it on the show. If you're being cheated on, it's devastating for you.
Oh.
But for me to do a cheating story, it's like a day off.
Tale is all the time.
I love the, you know, there's funny stories with it, how they get caught and, you know, and even think about your own life. I mean, have you ever cheated on anybody?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
it's a retaliatory cheat. I've been cheated on. And I have to get you back to cheat.
But what I'm saying, when you're cheating, it's kind of exciting, right?
Oh, sure.
Yeah. And then there's all kind of crazy stories to go with it, like covering up your cheating and all that. So
there's a lot of layers to peel back.
Yeah. So like, I like those stories because they're easy for me and they're funny. And, you know, I can't. And my wife is very good. That's the good thing about having your wife as an executive producer. She knows when we're going a little too serious and it'll bring me down. So yeah. She needs to lighten it up and bring me back
just
up.
Just a nice sprinkling of everything.
Yeah, yes. She goes, Steve, sorry about that molestation story. You're in your ear. I got a cheater. I got a training cheater coming up next. This is really gonna get you going today.
Yeah, so,
you know. A, B, or C, Steve. Which one do you want?
But, you know, listen, the show is about getting people answers and justice, yeah. And I think we've done a good job of that.
You guys done a great job of that. We had two employees here. A guy used to work here. I'm not even allowed to say his name, Tex. But he went on to the Maury show with Big Cat and a couple other people. And it was such an awesome episode because he was setting up a boxing match. You probably remember it better.
Yeah,
than I
remember as a fan. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was to promote Rough and Rowdy,
it was
right?
To the promote first one. Rough and Rowdy. Yeah. But yeah, Joey, we got to get at least in the audience. What kind of drama can we, Joey and Ooh. I, cook up to be guests on the Steve Wilkos show? That's,
we work
that's
there.
What we, that's
we
what we really there. Want. We could work there, break it up
really
the fight.
Jobs.
You would take a massive pay cut.
We go, oh, man.
I was gonna say I don't think they pay the kids on my show a lot of money.
Is it young? Like it's
yeah, it's
the young kids yeah. Break up the fights.
No. So Mike, who I was talking to, the cop.
Yeah,
I mean he's older than me, and he's my main security guy. So I'm 59.
Still
so
throwing him in there.
But no, we have like retired cops and stuff that work on our show, and but. The staff, the bookers, APs, PAs, those are all young kids in their 20s out of college.
Yeah.
Working. Now, the producers, I've had some producers that have been since we're from Chicago.
Wow.
Have been there a long time. And they're growing old like the rest of us. We're all growing old together. But most of the staff is like we had a rap party for the first time in 3 years. You know, at the end of every season, we have a big rap party. So we haven't had one in 3 years. And it's different for me because now I don't drink. I'm boring. But for them, it's like a big highlight. It's free booze. And,
yep.
And I'm like, I told my wife, like, I'm going to the Cubs gate tomorrow. Let's go. You know, yeah. I want to get out of here. I'm like,
everyone,
I turned into Maury. I'm a grumpy old man, you know. But yeah, so, but for the staff, it's great. And it was, and the other thing is when I come to work, I go into my green room, I get ready to do the show. I go on stage, I do the show. I go back to my green room. I don't have a lot of interaction with my staff, so it was nice to actually talk to people, see
you've been here how many seasons?
Yeah. I have no idea. And I used to make fun of Jerry. I'm like, Jerry, how do you not know this person's name? But then when you get to be in his part, his role, then you realize,
Are you looking for relief, relaxation, or to party on the motherfucking moon? Then check out 3Cheese's new True Strains lineup of cannabis vapes and gummies tailored for specific effects. And the best part? It's delivered straight to your door. Visit 3chi.com. That's 3chi.com. And for a limited time, get 20% off with the code BARSTOOL20.
What's your relationship with Jerry now? Is he proud of you?
Yeah, I think so. And I love Jerry. And, I just had a cigar with him about a month ago. He came into New York and he came up to see us. And I love the man. Listen,
oh, nice.
Everything I have that's good in my life is because of this guy, you know.
Mine is because of Allah, but
hey man, be careful.
Little different. Speaking of Marty, can we pull up a photo of the Prophet Muhammad face on that? We're gonna break this one down.
I was gonna say, man. Easy.
Not the types of people you want to fuck with.
Yeah. I know.
It'll be outside the studio. Come in. Well, I would love to come to a show, be in the audience.
I do think coming to a show and see a show like our types of show are really fun in person.
Yeah.
You know, like you see it on TV, but when you're there, like I used to tell people on Springer Show, like being in that audience is something special. And even with our show, it's a lot of fun and you get to see it. You get to see the unedited, you know, you're hearing everything unedited. So yeah, it's definitely a different
feeling. Right? Yeah. Just make sure we get there when we're giving out free cars that day.
Yeah. Reach into your seat. Seat 17 A and B. Oh, it's us. We have a free car. Does audience get liquored up? You serve them booze?
Well, we can't give anybody booze, not even guests. That's against the law.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. So legally, we can't do that.
So you're not going to make it.
And you know what? Guests that are high or like drunk, they're not good, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because like they forget about what they're there for. And so you want people that to be in their right mind for that.
Definitely. I worked on the Andy Cohen show and we would get the whole audience liquored up before. I mean, it was small. It's like, you know, maybe
that whole studio is as big as this room.
It's tiny.
Yeah. Because I was the guest bartender a couple times. And I mean, you know, what's so crazy. Like the first time I was doing it, we had this crazy publicist and she's like, bring 5 shirts and 5 sweaters and 5 sport jackets. I go, I could stand there naked and they wouldn't care. Because I'm like, have you ever seen a show? I'm like, yeah. You know, they don't, it's the guest bartender. Nobody gives a damn. Yeah. You know?
It's that no one cares at all. I was lucky enough. We did it one time and I knew the director. So he gave us about 3X the cuts that a normal bartender gets. But you're right. You're just kind of like a fly on the wall.
You're a bartender. You're just sitting there drinking and, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's a pretty good gig.
Why'd you give up the booze?
Well, I got a DUI. And I crashed my car and I almost killed myself.
Oh my God.
And I had to apologize to all the affiliates across the country.
When you were a cop?
No, this was 5 years ago. This is 2018.
Was it in Connecticut?
Yeah. In my town. And I had to call and like, I remember talking to this one guy who runs a big group that buys my show. But I knew him. He was an executive with NBC, or not NBC, whoever owned us at the time, but was with Springer, you know. And he said, hey, listen, man. He goes, you know I love you. I've known you forever. But he goes, if you get another DUI, you're done.
Yeah.
Like, that's it for your show. And I said, man, you know, I got a pretty good life because of the show. And, you know, like when I turned 50, I think my body and alcohol just didn't react the same anymore.
Hangovers.
And I was drinking too much. And so,
I'm looking for
your
substance too.
I said, you know, my wife like sent me now. She's like, you know, you need to quit. And I did.
And that's it. Just cold tell you, you're done.
I'm done. That's it.
You know,
I'm done.
Pick and choose your battles and blessings in life. And I think you picked the right one.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
17 seasons.
Hey, listen, that's I don't crazy. Want to be preachy because the best times of my life were drinking alcohol.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I started drinking when I was 14 years old. So I had a lot of,
I was there.
I don't want to talk trash about booze.
I had a lot of great times.
Yeah.
But now that I don't drink, my life has been great.
Yeah.
And I never thought. You could have never told me in a million years that I would have thought that way.
Yeah.
I wake up every day. I feel great. I work out every day.
You look great.
Your skin,
everything.
I don't take blood pressure medicine anymore. I used to have high blood pressure all the time. I don't have that anymore. Like, so my health has increased. I feel great. I still say stupid things that maybe make my wife mad once in a while, but it's cut down like 1,000%.
Yeah.
Right? Like when you're not drinking.
Yeah, you don't have the loudmouth soup.
When you're not drinking alcohol, you're doing a lot less stupid stuff.
Oh, God, yeah. Can I ask a stupid question?
Sure.
Maybe it's not stupid. How does syndication work?
Stations like ABC, CBS, NBC. Yeah. Those are network shows. Syndication is like PIX or the CW. So
it runs on local networks. So it's just local.
It's local stations, and they buy your show, and they air it.
They buy episodes of the show. They don't do the entire thing. They pick and choose what they want.
No. They have to buy
the entirety.
Right. So whatever show we're airing that day airs everywhere.
Oh, got it.
They can't air something different, or you know what I mean. So what I think you're thinking of is like Jerry Seinfeld.
Yeah,
the Seinfeld show. Like. So different markets buy his show, and they can air whatever shows they want at that time in reruns. Our show is syndicated, but it means all of this is different TV stations that aren't networks, that are TV groups all across the country. You go out and you sell the show to all these different TV groups, and they air the show. Instead of being – now. And listen, there's a great advantage being on a network show. Like Kelly Clarkson owns – NBC owns Kelly Clarkson.
Mm.
So they own my show. They own Kelly. Kelly's on NBC, so whatever NBC station, NBC goes, boom, we're airing the Kelly Clarkson show, you know, boom, everybody's got to air it. And network shows get better ratings. Syndication is smaller, and you're all over the place. And, you know, if you were on, say, Chicago, I'm owned by WCIU, and, you know, they could say, well, we don't want to buy it this year. Well, then you got to go out and find another group to buy.
So you're selling to like a company who represents all these stations.
The mom and pops of television stations.
Yeah, that's how Oprah made all her money.
Oprah made all her money because, and this will never happen again. They'll never allow it. But basically what her and Roger King did, they said, we'll own the show. We'll take all the production, this and that. So she owned the show. So NBC owns my show. So if there was a lot of money to be made, they're going to get the majority of it.
Right.
And then I have to negotiate my contract.
Oprah owns us as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. So Oprah owned her own show. So she got all the profit. Well, Nobody's ever going to let that happen again.
That's wild.
Yeah.
So we're on season 17. How many more seasons are we getting before you calling it?
Well, I got a son that's a junior in high school.
Oh, and, yeah. He's going to go through college.
So. Yeah. And I, you know, I got a daughter up in Boston in college. So, and I'm paying her rent and tuition and everything else. It's pretty expensive. So, like I'm going into season 17 in the fall. I was talking to my sales staff in Chicago at the Cubs opening day. I said, I'd like to get to 20. And they said, yeah, that's not, they said it's not going to be a problem, but you never know. But so that, you know, nice 20. Now, if they wanted me beyond that, listen, this is an easy gig.
Yeah.
Right. It's 2 days local. A week. I finished March 30th. I don't go back until the last week in August. Cool. So,
oh my God.
You don't go back to, oh my God. Yeah. What a, that's like a teacher's schedule, like on steroids.
Yeah. I wish I had a union as powerful as the teacher's union. But no, so it's, I'm not, you know, I'm not swinging a pickaxe for a living, you know, like right. I got a pretty easy gig and I get to do stuff like this.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, I make good money and, you know, I get to do a lot of cool things and, you know, I like it.
You got it made in the shade. And every day you realize how good your life is.
I do.
When you I have do. The guests of the crazy.
You know, it's
guests
funny. You think I'm lying. Every day I wake up and I look out my window, I go, man, this is a great life.
Yeah.
Because I could have been pushing a squat car around for 30 years. You know what I mean? Which is not a bad life.
Yeah. Right.
But it's not as good as this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Much easier.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. Season 17 of the Steve Wilkos Show is on now.
No, we're taping season 17.
Taping 17. 16, 16 is out.
You'll
now.
See season 16 now, but we will be back in the fall to be taping season 17.
All right. And keep an eye out for me and Joey. We're going to try and weasel our way into
you
the
gotta
audience.
Call, yeah. Yeah. So, you got to come, man. You got to come.
We have a shot. Should we give the working girls pitch right now?
Maybe you could do something crazy over the summer and it would give you some latitude.
I mean, we got, give us a couple bottles of booze. We'll be good. We have a show called Working Girls where we like go around and we do these different jobs.
You try so different
we,
careers.
We try different careers. We did one where we were like pit guys at NASCAR. And then we did another one. We were dog groomers. Maybe there's something we can do with the Steve Wilkos.
Well, you
show.
Know what? Maybe
break up
you,
the fight security for no, one show.
No, maybe. Not even that. I think a great idea would
I can
be
molest her
to be. Book- You guys should be bookers on my show and talk to all the people that call in. We get thousands of phone calls and we just have you guys calling these people and talking to them.
Oh my
and
God.
You now how many times did you fuck your stepmom? Okay.
Oral isn't sex.
Well, if it's stepmom, isn't that every guy's fantasy?
I guess
so. He's got a point. He's got a point. All right. Well, maybe that'll work out. But thank you so much for coming on. Steve. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.